I don't know if you ever noticed the birds. One time I had planted in my garden in Asheville wildflowers because we don't live there anymore, so not able to plant vegetables that are, require daily attention. So it's like a field of wildflowers. So one time, kind of the wildflowers were done. It was the end of the season. I'm driving back to Waynesville after mowing the grass, and as soon as I get to where the garden is, this wave, huge gold wave, goldfinches, this bright yellow, it stopped me in my tracks. It took my breath away. It was stunning. Little birds. Whenever I would plant corn in that garden, I would notice the crows. I would have to battle the crows. I would plant the seeds, and then the next morning I would go out and there would be a hole where the kernel of corn was. Devised all these strategies to try to keep them off the corn. The seeds would grow little fledglings. I don't know what you little baby corn plants. They would pull those up, the crows would, because there would still be enough of a kernel of corn. Like, my trouble is they're smarter than me. But I figured out, I outsmarted them using strings and wire and different scary things. But then it's harvest time, and you notice the crows, because they actually eat the corn before you can harvest it. I was tilling last Friday night. I've decided, even though I don't live there, I can plant some corn because I just got to plant it, and then I can harvest it. And as I'm finished tilling, I'm taking the tiller back to the house. The crows are already gathering, and they're squawking their crow noises. Almost like they're mocking me. I noticed the birds. One time, Chan and Ross were, it was back in the day when we lived in Asheville and attended Central United Methodist Church, where Rob was the pastor. And Chan and Ross were going to the church for some purpose, and they were at the door waiting to be let in. And they were noticing this pigeon that was just kind of right there at the building. It's just all of a sudden, this hawk just comes down and lands on the pigeon and is doing its hawk thing, and she says it just freaked him out, but at the same time, it was just amazing. I've been running around at Lake Junaluska, and I see you with your big, professional-looking, gigantic-looking cameras waiting to catch a photograph of the eagle. Jesus gives some notorious instruction, and then he says, "Notice the birds." It's an invitation to birdwatch, to pay attention, to see. And we become aware when we do, when we see, we know what God values. Look at the birds, Jesus says. They don't sow seeds, they don't reap harvests, they don't gather into barns. N.T. Wright, New Testament scholar, he says Jesus had watched 1,000 different kinds of flowers growing in the fertile Galilee soil. And he said the word that's in this passage translated lily, it includes several different plants, such as the autumn crocus, the anemone, the gladiolus. And he says Jesus had to have held his breath at their fragile beauty. But one sweep of a sigh, one passing donkey, this wonderful object worth putting in an art gallery is gone. And N.T. Wright poses the question, where did this beauty come from? It didn't spend hours in front of a mirror. It didn't go shopping in the market for fine clothes. It was just itself, glorious, God-given, beautiful. You are valuable, Jesus says. You are beautiful in yourself. God loves and cares for the birds. God loves and cares for the flowers of the field. How much more, Jesus says, does God love and care for you? And Jesus' instruction, don't worry. Don't worry about food. Don't worry about drink. Don't worry about clothes. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry. But we do. Don't worry. But we should, right? It's ridiculously easy for me not to worry about food and drink and clothes. I have cash. I have access. Not everybody has the cash. Not everybody has the access. And so here's Jesus' promise that can be a bit challenging. He says, seek the kingdom. Like, that's your first order of life, is seeking God's kingdom. Seek the right things. And Jesus says, you'll have it. You'll have all of these things. All these things will be given to you. So, if you are a person of faith, living in poverty, if you are a Jesus lover without access to the basic stuff of life, your necessities, how is that working out for you? I imagine it doesn't always. So, Jesus tells this parable. It's in Matthew's Gospel too, towards the end of it. It's the judgment of the nations. It's the title, the story, this parable. The king comes in glory. Jesus, the Son of God, comes in glory. This kingdom that we've been seeking, it appears. Jesus the king looks to the righteous people. Hey, blessed people, isn't this amazing? Isn't this great? I'm paraphrasing a little bit. Enter the kingdom that has been prepared for you. And then he gives the reason. I didn't have to worry about food. I didn't have to worry about drink. I didn't have to worry about clothes. Because you gave me these things. And you know what's really crazy? They were like, when did we see you? They had such kingdom hearts. They were doing these things with their eyes closed. So tomorrow is Earth Day. Earth Day was established 54 years ago. There's a website, earthday.org. I would encourage you to go to it. It's a global celebration every April the 22nd. Over a billion people will take time to advocate for the planet and for the health of all living things. Now, this is the thing about Earth Day. They're trying to get a world of people to notice that the Earth is in a world of hurt. The earth is in trouble. I don't have to tell you this. Our relationship with the planet is broken. It's not too hard to see that the damage we're causing is creating an ecological disaster. Now, this is the problem, if you're like me. So when I see it, when I really see it, when my eyes are opened, I become stressed, anxious, afraid, discouraged, maybe even feel depressed. Jesus says, don't worry, but I'm worried. Now, the theme for Earth Day this year is the planet versus plastics. Plastics are the enemy. They say plastics extend beyond the imminent environmental issue because they present a grave threat to human health. And it's a threat that's as alarming as climate change, which is pretty alarming. So plastics, they break down into microplastics. You can't see them. And they release toxic chemicals into our food, into our water. They circulate through the air that we breathe. Plastic production has now grown to more than 380 million tons per year. More plastic has been produced in the last 10 years than in the entire 20th century. And the industry is growing explosively, and they plan to into the future. More than 500 billion plastic bags, 1 million bags per minute, were produced worldwide last year. And this is the thing about it. Many plastic bags have a working life of a few minutes, followed by an afterlife of centuries. Even after plastics disintegrate, they remain because they're microplastics. They're minute particles permeating every niche of life on the planet. There's a whole lot to be said about that. But that's the focus of this year's Earth Day. The problem with plastic and a pretty aggressive plan. James Cone is an African-American theologian, and he cites the 1987 United Church of Christ Commission on Racial Justice. This commission, it was this groundbreaking report on wastes and toxic wastes in the United States. This study found that among a variety of indicators, race was the best predictor of the location of hazardous waste facilities in the United States. And so James Cone says we need to link the Earth's crisis with the crisis in the human family. If it's important to save the habitats of birds and other species, then it's at least important to save black lives in the ghettos and the prisons of America. If you go to the Earth Day website, there's one illustration, a vivid example of this, the health costs of our dependence, addiction, reliance on plastics. And it's found in the industrial corridor along the lower Mississippi. It's a region known to environmental justice organizations as Cancer Alley. It's a 130-mile stretch along the river. It's home to more than 200 industrial facilities, oil refineries, plastic plants, chemical plants, other factories that emit significant amounts of harmful air pollution. This situation has highlighted the reality that many of the petrochemical plants that contribute to the demand, insatiable demand, of products that come from crude oil, fossil gas, gasoline, and plastics, that they exist next to black communities, in close proximity. People who live close to these production facilities, their health is trouble. Severe consequences. Cancer, organ malfunction, impaired sensory organs. It affects their eyes. Psalm 23 was one of the lectionary texts for this week. And I read it. It's a very earthy song. You probably know it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley or the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. So, I lie down in the grass. I look at the heavens. You can imagine that, just being flat on your back out in a field and see things. I lie down in the grass and I not only see the sheep, but cattle. And if I think about it long enough, I see rainforests being cut down at alarming rates so that I can have more grass and more pasture and more beef. God restores my soul in these places. And God reminds me I am the keeper of these pastures. I sit beside the still waters, or around here, the wild mountain water that sings to me as it moves over the rocks and cascades and falls. God restores my soul in places like this. And God reminds me, especially on Earth Day, that I am the keeper of these waters. God leads me in the right paths. What are those? God leads me in right paths. That means that God leads me to those who are worried about their next meal. Those who are worried about what they're going to eat or drink or wear. God leads me through the darkest valleys, the cancer alleys. And as God restores my soul, God reminds me, I am my brother's keeper. I am my sister's keeper. As the psalm sings, my head is anointed with oil. And what does that mean? It means I have been ordained. We have been anointed, ordained for this. We are earth keepers. And at the end of the day, the psalm sings, all will see that the table is set, the feast is there, the cup overflows with goodness and with mercy, because we can see and we cannot change until we see. God bless us and God help us. Amen.